You pray with me. Father in heaven, open our hearts and minds to see you and to know you as you have revealed yourself to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. In the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lent is not usually a season of the church year in which we focus on the grandeur and the glory of God. In fact, our liturgy calls for the hymn of praise to be omitted from the worship service following that time of confession and absolution that we normally sing the hymn of praise during the entire season of Lent. Since this is generally recognized as a time of penitence rather than a time of praise. And that's all well and good. But today we're going to depart from that norm a bit and give praise to God anyway. And the text that we're going to use for our worship this morning, first verse of the psalm appointed for this day, Psalm 19, King David wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." I figure if the heavens can declare the glory of God year-round, then we can too. It's said that a picture paints 1,000 words. And so it is that the heavens and the skies, as God's artistry, shout forth his praises, though they speak not a word. Their message of God's glory and grandeur and greatness is loud and clear for all to see and to hear, though they have no voice. And that's why people of every culture, every country, every generation have always believed in and worshiped a God. A God of their imagination, if they did not know the true God of creation. But whether they ever heard him speak to them or not, like Adam or Abraham or Samuel, or whether he ever gave them specific signs, like he gave to Moses or Elijah or the shepherds or the Magi, anyone who has ever lived could simply look at the heavens and know of God's presence. Because only a fool can look at the night sky out in the desert with that myriad of stars, or the gathering of clouds before a spring storm, or the rainbow that appears after a summer rain, or the incredible palette of colors that streak across the sky as the sun sets into the west, and not know that there is a God. Only a fool can be so deaf and so blind as to not hear and see the declaration and the proclamation of the skies. But you know, even if you do hear and see all that the heavens and the skies have to say, you still aren't even one step closer to knowing who God is, nor toward being saved by him. Because the skies and the heavens only speak of God's glory, of God's grandeur, of God's greatness. The skies and the heavens don't speak of God's grace. For that we have to look to the cross. Because it's only at the cross, and because of the cross, that we get to see and experience the love and the grace of God. It's only there that we get to see how God has forgiven us of our sins through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. It's only there that we truly get to know God and who He is. God is Jesus. That sounds kind of foolish, doesn't it? Well, maybe not to those of us who already believe in Him. But to the rest of the world, that statement, God is Jesus, sounds like nonsense. The very notion that the totality of the God of the universe, the one who created the great vastness of the heavens, and yet the most delicate and intricate details of our earth, could somehow be contained in the inconsequential flesh of one single solitary human being is absurd. And then to suggest that this person God could and would die the humiliating, painful death of a cross for the sake of lowly, insignificant human beings, it's just ridiculous. At least, like I said before, that's what it seems to those who don't believe it. To those who are actually perishing because of their unbelief. That's why the totality of God being in Christ and the death of Christ on a cross is such a stumbling block to so many people. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not rational. Indeed, it's not. And that's precisely why God chose to operate in such a way. Thus, anyone who then would actually follow Him would have to do it on the basis of faith and not on reasonable explanations or on proof. And the basis of this faith is none other and nothing more than the revealed Word of God. A Word which tells us in Colossians 2, verse 9, that in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Which tells us in Philippians 2 that Jesus, being in very nature God, made Himself nothing and took on the very nature of a servant and was made in human likeness and then became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Jesus Himself said to His disciples that when they saw Him, they were actually and always also seeing the Father. The heavens may declare the glory of God. And the skies may proclaim the work of His hands. But they can't tell you who God is or how God feels about you, how He feels about me. The only place that we can find that out is at the cross, as God in the person of His Son Jesus lays down His life as a sacrifice for our sin. Paul calls the cross the power of God and the wisdom of God for all those who believe. It's also the revelation of God, both of who He is and what He is about. You see, the cross, not the heavens, tell us that the name of God is Jesus and that He is a God of love. And it's because of that revelation made in Jesus' death and resurrection that we are forgiven of our sins and that we now know that we will live with God in eternity. The heavens are beautiful. And the skies are glorious. And they both speak volumes about the power of God. But only the cross reveals to us the hidden nature and the extent of His love for us. And that's why we cling to the old rugged cross. May we each hold on to the message and the Savior of the cross until that day in His kingdom when we exchange that cross for a crown. To God and God alone be the glory. In the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.